every man can relate to this boy that would want, of course, to execute this and has a fantasy of one day being with this lady, but never think it's an actual reality that a woman of that age would give him the opportunity. But what was the true opportunity? How did this opportunity come to fruition? I submit to you, it was complete negligence by the parents. What's up, everybody? My name is Mel, and welcome to Life Coaching by Mel. Here at Life Coaching by Mel, we speak truth regarding the family. And it's not my truth, it's not your truth. The line of demarcation on this show is the Word of God, the Bible. If you're new to the channel, do me a favor, hit that subscribe button, hit the like button, hit me in the comment section. Let me know what you think about this topic. We're here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on YouTube and wherever you may find your podcast with a new episode. Do your part to help the channel grow by sharing this with at least one person. Matter of fact, share it with everyone you know. Today is going to be a bit of a touchy subject. A little bit different than what I normally discuss, but it's definitely something that impacts the family on a grand scale. We're going to talk about adults and more specifically teachers molesting or SAing or even raping little children. This is one of those topics that's near dear to my heart, and we're going to get right into it with this crazy story. The headline on New York Post says, Madison Bergman, teacher busted for making out with 11-year-old, allegedly moved his desk so she could rub his legs during class. This was just on the week of May 7th that the story was published. Let's take a look what it says. Madison Bergman, the Wisconsin teacher, busted for allegedly making out with an 11-year-old in her classroom. Allegedly moved the victim's desk next to hers so that she could touch him during class without the other students seeing. My daughter thought he was a problem kid, another student's mom told the Post. She said that his desk got moved next to Bergman's a couple months ago, and she just assumed that he was in trouble. When it was time for lunch, she asked him to stay after class. The mom continued, so it just fed into the idea that he was constantly getting in trouble. As you can see, this is a picture of the school here. The abuse allegedly happened in Bergman's class at Rivercrest Elementary School in Hudson, Wisconsin. The alleged victim told the cops a similar story. According to a criminal complaint filed Thursday in St. Croix District Court, the fifth grader told sex crime investigators that Bergman would rub his thigh and calves during independent reading time. Due to the strategic placement of his desk in her classroom at Rivercrest Elementary School in Hudson, he did not believe any of the other kids would see it happening, the complaint alleged. The boy also confirmed to police that Bergman would have him stay after class. He claimed that Bergman kissed him several times in her classroom, either after school or while the other students were at lunch. Bergman, 24, is charged with first-degree child sexual assault of a child under the age of 13. And what we're about to read here, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason for today's video. What sparked me to want to talk about this topic? Let's check this out. The boy's family had befriended Bergman, even going with her on a ski trip to Afton Alps, a nearby resort. Bergman told authorities she received the boy's number during that weekend. Last week, the boy's mother overheard a troubling phone call and alerted the boy's father. According to the complaint, the father confiscated the boy's phone and read his text messages. In one text, according to the complaint, Bergman told the boy that she wanted to just grab your face and push you to the floor and make out with you. In another text, she allegedly told him, I almost kissed you when you were on the ground today, but I got distracted by your stomach. It's an 11-year-old, ladies and gentlemen. The boy's enraged father printed out the text and took them to the school. Authorities immediately opened an investigation. Cops searched Bergman's backpack and allegedly found a folder with the victim's name on it. Inside were several handwritten letters. In her notes, she tells him that she loves him, wants to kiss him, he turns her on, and that she is obsessed with him, the complaint says. Bergman is free on $25,000 bond. She has disabled her social media and is not allowed on school property or at school events. It is unclear if she has yet hired an attorney authorized to speak on her behalf. Additionally, Bergman, who was engaged to be married to Sam Hickman, would no longer be walking down the aisle in July. It's been indefinitely postponed, a pal of her fiance told the Post Saturday, and it probably won't happen. He is really upset and heartbroken. He's embarrassed and pissed. He didn't deserve this. Everyone is pissed. But I would say, quite frankly, I don't think they pissed enough. I've been saying for the better part of the last 5 years that modern teachers are some of the most crazy people you'll ever meet in life. I can't remember the last time I met a fully cognitive, sane, mentally stable teacher that's not either socially awkward, got some type of disability. I'm not saying those people should be exiled from life. I don't get why they're teaching our kids. Oh, yes, I do. Because there's a teacher shortage. Nobody wants to be a teacher nowadays. And that's twofold. We know that they don't get paid much. And we do know also that the kids, since COVID, have taken things up even a higher notch than ever before regarding the activity level and their behavior issues. So I'm going to be frank here and say that the bar has been set so low regarding what it takes to become a teacher, what it takes to be a part of the school administration, what it takes to become involved with the school district whatsoever. And I know this for a fact, because I did some side work a few months ago with the school district along the lines of bus driving, that I realized it didn't take nothing. All I had to do was go up there and say, I would like to do this. I was hired the next day. Quick little background check. But what is the background check when it comes to somebody who wants to do evil? Just like this young lady here. She's a first-time offender. So yes, a background check would not show that she's capable of doing this type of thing. But her age will. She's not much older than this young boy. So, of course, she's more prone to do something of this nature. He's more prone to be attracted to someone of her age. What happened to the Miss Inas, the Miss Irenes, the Mr. Otises, the Mr. Charles? What happened to Mr. Johnson? Like, where's the old teachers? I'm not saying they are less likely to want to be with a child, but a child is probably less likely to want to be with them. I didn't look at Miss Williams with that girdle and, you know, them stockings. I didn't look at her with any type of attraction at 11 years old. Why are we so willing to just hire anyone? 24 years old, I would think she would be a student aide, getting her feet wet in the system, learning what it means to be around children day in, day out, improving that she's not capable of doing something of this nature. But no, it's a high probability that she was hired right out of college without any type of evidence of what her character is. Chris Hansen, the guy who does the Child Predator show, or used to do it, or he does still do that content to this day, he was on a podcast recently. He was talking about this. And he was talking about how this happened so much more lately. What is going on with the teachers nowadays? Why are women doing this way more than they used to do? I'll be honest with you. I get so sick and tired of hearing baby boomers and Gen Xers talking about how things were back in their day and how things were not as bad as they are now. That the Gen Zs and the millennials are just taking things so far, too far. No way in the world they could ever get away with that in their day. No, Chris, there's nothing new under the sun. The truth about what's happening now is that things are far more exposed. It's so much easier to get caught. And when you do get caught, people have far more resources to now turn you in. But women have been doing this at least my entire life. Because you're looking at someone who has definitely been SA'd by older women. There's so many men I know personally, and I'm sure so many men around America that can say the same thing. That you were SA'd, molested, taught things way beyond your age. Things that you were not prepared for. And no one was there to protect you. And if you dared told someone, every single person would laugh at you and tell you you should have enjoyed it. These are two people that are caught up in fantasy world. When I look at people who are willing to SA or do anything towards a young child, that's something repressed within them. It's something that they did not get to satisfy or execute when they were at that age. This woman is engaged to be married to a man of her age, apparently in love. But that in love stage don't have anything compared to do with that fantasy and that desire that she wanted when she was 11 years old and never got the time of day from guys apparently like this young man. And the other fantasy, of course, is the young boy. Every man can relate to this boy that would want, of course, to execute this and has a fantasy of one day being with this lady, but never think it's an actual reality that a woman of that age would give him the opportunity. But what was the true opportunity? How did this opportunity come to fruition? I submit to you, it was complete negligence by the parents. And that's the point of today's video. I'm angry with the parents, not just these parents. I'm angry with parents across the board. And I know as soon as someone like myself begin to talk harsh towards someone or be critical, the first thing people want to say, well, who are you to judge? We want to break down this person and disqualify them, so to speak, so they can't say what they're saying. You want to disqualify the messenger instead of listening to the message. I get it. I don't have any kids at the moment, but my wife is pregnant right now. And we're preparing, doing everything we can to put our minds on what can we do to create the safest environment for our children from the day she's born to the day that we send her off to her husband. And I would 100% take the blame for anything that happens to my daughter, especially if I'm the one that introduces it to my daughter. If I'm the person who put the predator in their pathway, it will be 100% my fault. And I understand that this assailant and this predator and this lady deserves to be under the jail if it's left up to me. But what about the parents? When are we going to hold parents accountable for the bullcrap that they do to their children, that they allow around their children? You are the first line of defense. You're the first protector. How are you protecting him? By bringing her around him? What does a teacher need to go to a family vacation for? We're having a teacher-parent night. That's all the one-on-one contact you need with this teacher. I'll tell you what it probably was. The mom was probably looking for a friend, and the dad probably looking for a new sex buddy. But you put your son in danger by chasing your own desires. You can look at all the men that's been taken down over the years for SA and child molestation. The most popular case being the famous singer R. Kelly. You could take his case and say, man, you should be under the jail. I'm with you on that. But what about those parents that took those girls to R. Kelly? What about those parents that got paid to sacrifice their daughters? What about them? No accountability? And most of those girls, no excuse, but most of those girls was upper age where they have cognitive understanding where they can make a decision for themselves. Most of them, if they wasn't having sex with R. Kelly, they probably would with somebody else. But this 11-year-old, nah, we need some parent accountability. Something needs to happen to them. Rather it be a fine or some jail time, a precedent needs to be sent that if you are negligent towards your child, you will be held accountable. The boy was innocent, but he knew what he was doing. The letters he sent to this lady, the text messages, he knew exactly what to say, how to say it. He was in a relationship with her. So I'm not saying that he's without culpability, but we know he was being manipulated and we know that he was being groomed. But we can put him in the same category as a troubled teen. And with troubled teens, something has to be done. It can't just be we move on like nothing has happened. Parents should be held accountable. And there's one amazing state that's trying to implement something that's going to hold these parents accountable for troubled teens. And that state is Tennessee. We have a news article here from News 9 ABC. It says, should parents pay for their child's crimes? That's what one Tennessee bill seeks to do. A bill moving through the Tennessee legislature could hold parents of young criminals accountable for their child's actions. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigations, TBI, reports that juveniles made up 8% of arrests for serious crimes like drug use, assault, and burglary in 2022. That's over 13,000 children across the state. Now, state lawmakers are hoping to prevent more cases by introducing the Parental Accountability Act. The bill will require parents or guardians of a juvenile to pay a fine or provide community service if their child is found guilty of criminal activity. But it's received some pushback from organizations who say the bill adds a financial penalty on existing punishments. Jasmine Miller, attorney at the Youth Law Center, says it is important to understand that Tennessee juvenile justice system already does impose fines and fees on parents. The bill sponsor says a child's parent or legal guardian needs to be held financially accountable for a juvenile offender's actions. But Miller disagrees, claiming if passed, this will make family members less inclined to step in. Grandparents and extended family members who make the decisions to step in and take legal custody of children after they have gotten into trouble would be fined if they can't fix the situation immediately, which will make it less likely that a family member will be willing to step in, Miller says. Miller testified against the bill. It would require a juvenile offender's guardian to pay up to $1,000 if they commit a crime. What I'm intending to do with this bill is we need to do whatever we can to try to get the attention of parents so that raising their kids is something that is higher on the to-do list, Senator Brent Taylor says. We did some digging and found that the TBI says that the juvenile crime is actually dropping. Their numbers show a 1% decrease in juvenile arrests from 2021 to 2022. This is not meant to be preventative, but if it encourages parents to pay a little closer attention to their children and what they are doing, then I think it would all have been worth it, Senator Taylor says. Although it passed the Senate, some expressed concern that it would not achieve its goal. I don't know that this would be preventative. I think this would be punitive, Senator Kerry Roberts says, putting too much blame on the parents who are trying. Sometimes there are very responsible parents whose kids do very terrible things, Senator Roberts says. The same senator is sponsoring another bill that has to do with juvenile crime, although it has not been passed by either full chamber yet. It will give juvenile court judge the option to send a child who is at least 15 years old to adult court if they are charged with organized retail crime or theft of a firearm. This bill is really intended to try and end gang recruitment and try to get juveniles to commit these crimes. I know some of you may be saying, Mel, what does that have to do with these sex crimes that are being committed? I believe troubled teen category should be broadened. It's not just about gang related activities or drugs. I believe the term troubled teen should include high sex activity or any type of sexual activity for a minor. I can't think of any parent out there that wants their child to be promiscuous or having sex outside of wedlock or having sex before they're graduating high school. I can't think of any parent that's pro their child being sexually active. So yes, if they are involved with sex, especially with an adult, and they're knowingly being involved with this, they are considered a troubled teen. Therefore, this type of bill would help with the parents being held more accountable. Because yes, in this case, the mom did step in when she heard the inappropriate conversation. But where were you when they exchanged numbers? Where were you when the first text came through? How did this young 11-year-old boy not have his phone confiscated way before that? How is his text messages not being checked regularly, where this relationship can be built over time and you not know anything about it? I think you should be held legally accountable. But beyond the legal accountability, God holds you accountable. You are in charge of the protection of your child. Not only are you in charge of the protection, you are in charge of training them up in the way that they should go. And when they are older, they will not depart from it. And when we hear that scripture, Proverbs 22:6, we think that that's only if we raise them up in the positive things. That's only if we raise them up in the godly things. That will be the thing that won't depart from them as they get older. No, it's however we train them up. In the negligent ways that we train them up, it won't depart from them. If we abuse our children, if we provoke our children, it will not depart from them. If you allow an adult to essay and molest and build a full-fledged relationship with your child, that won't depart from them. And the reason I know this, because I've seen this firsthand. I'm not going to give too much detail because it's not my place to share this story for this person. But someone from my childhood had a coach, a basketball coach, get very, very close to them, to the point where that basketball coach was coming around that person's family, going to parties, always around. This is a female basketball coach, and that person that's the victim was a female. That coach eventually began to SA and molest this young girl. Parents had no clue. Happened for months. Eventually, I believe a student told and made it clear that this was inappropriate, and the parents became aware. Charges were beginning to get pressed, and the teacher vanished. Went to another state, never heard from them again. But the scars from that young lady still exist to this day. It did not depart from her. And those parents were completely negligent. Those parents should have been held accountable legally. Now, this lady's out on bond as we speak here. Somebody tell me, what's the likelihood that she's still going to find a way to get in contact with this boy? It's a high probability, and you guys know it. I'm not even going to get into the fact that if this role was reversed, if the teacher was a male going after a little girl or going after a little boy, we know what would be happening. It won't be no bond. And I know some of you may be saying, hey, what about the actual assailant, that person who actually committed the crime? What does God think about them? Well, let me tell you exactly what God thinks. In Matthew 18:6, it says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. It don't get no more crystal clear than that. If you're watching this and you by any means are in a situation such as this, where you are the assailant, you are the adult in this situation, first off, let me let you know, you're the dirtiest thing on earth. There's nothing lower than you. And you should stop what you're doing today. Because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you get caught. Now, I know cases like this make you say, hey, I take that slap on the wrist. I'll pay that $2,500 to get out of jail. I'll do what it takes to vanish and disappear. They will never catch me for good. But the Lord's eyes are in every place, and there's nothing you can do to escape him. So best believe, vengeance is the Lord's, and he will see you. If you found interest in this topic and you want to add to the discussion, be sure to hit me in the comment section. I want to hear what you guys have to say about this. It's not about me. It's about the family. It's about the Lord. What can we do to protect our families moving forward so we can keep the nuclear family
whole.
The nuclear family is not just an option. It's the solution to every issue that we see in our society today.
Let's go.